This is the September 13th chapel service. The speaker is Reverend Addie Davis.
Thank you. Disaster has no time or limit. Would you be willing, after the service this morning, to remain in the chapel and let me make known to you a very urgent need that's been expressed to us by the American Red Cross? I would appreciate it if you would stay for a moment. Let me share it with you at the conclusion.
Let us stand and join in singing hymn number 11. Let us pray. Dear God, as we come before you this morning, we pray that you would clear our hearts and our minds so that we might be more receptive to your Holy Spirit. Remind us, Lord, that our only reason for being here this morning is to worship and to praise you. We come to you with concern for those who are in danger because of the storm, that you might protect them. We pray for those in our own seminary community who are facing financial struggles, frustrations, or hurts, that you might strengthen them. We pray for this one who is with us this morning, whom you have called to minister in your name, that your word might be spoken through her. Forgive us our sins, give us guidance and strength and wisdom as we face each new day. These things we pray in your holy name. Amen. We are very honored to have with us this morning Reverend Addie Davis, a native of Covington, Virginia. She is a graduate of Meredith College and Southeastern Seminary. For 17 years, she served churches in New England and is presently serving the Rich Patch Union Church near Covington. Reverend Davis was ordained by the Watt Street Baptist Church in Durham and was the first woman to be ordained by the Southern Baptist Convention. After the anthem, we will hear her as she brings the message.
Thank you. It is a special delight for me to be here today to express appreciation for this institution, to say how glad I am to be a graduate of Southeastern, and to acknowledge appreciation for so many who have labored here. I note the improvements and your enlarged vision, which are evident, and I'm sure this is pleasing to the Lord. He is blessing you in many ways. As one who has been called of God to preach the gospel, I simply want to share with you some things I have learned along the way in this journey of faith, some reflections which may also be valid for you. It is my belief that anyone who is willing to prepare himself or herself can achieve God's purposes for his or her life. No matter what the obstacles may be, it is always worth the effort. If a drop of water falls constantly upon a stone, it will eventually wear it away. So one person can make a difference in God's kingdom. Wherever God places you or me, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, who loves us, and gave himself for us. The important thing is to be a member of God's team, a part of God's family, striving to do his will to fulfill our calling. With God, we can press on, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Though churches vary in size, and I have belonged to both large and small churches, I believe there are no little churches, so long as God is in them, and so long as our ministry makes a difference in the lives of people. In all of these, we need to recognize the importance of lay members and lay leadership. For these people are called of God to specific tasks, just as you and I have been. I believe that working together, we can reflect the Spirit of the Lord and share in caring for one another and in our outreach in the world. I note that last April you did have a convocation for laity, which shows that you do recognize the importance of this important segment in our churches. Along with this, I think we need to remember that the gospel is for all people in all situations, no matter what our predicament may be, if we are responsible for it or not. God's forgiveness and God's grace are available for us in every situation. I believe also that we should be ecumenical in our outlook and our cooperation with others. It so happens that most of my ministry has been spent in a part of the country which is predominantly Catholic, a new experience for me. There were, of course, a number of intermarriages. In this day and age, with the great intermingling of the races of other nations with ours, I believe we need to know what other people believe, and certainly we need to know what we believe, so that we may be in dialogue with them. There were many changes which took place during the time I was in New England, and they were for the good. In Rhode Island, for example, the cooperation between Protestant clergy and Roman Catholic priests was a delight to me as I worked with those men in that area. Also, I have learned that much of life is a mystery, that we do not have all the answers, and he or she who thinks he or she does is likely to miss the depth of God's nature. He is always more than we can comprehend. But having revealed himself in Jesus, we understand something of his nature and his boundless love for humanity. We know he cares and shares this existence with us. Still, there are some tragedies in life which are beyond explanation, which call forth the very depths of our faith. I am thinking of such things as the results of war, natural calamities, murder, suicide, the sudden unnecessary loss of life, the deformity of a child's mind or body. These baffle us. And all too often I hear people rather glibly say, it's God's will. I believe we have to understand more than this to be of help to those who are experiencing these crucial things. It so happens that my first funerals were all tragic deaths. So I learned very early that the minister does not have all the answers and explanations. We are rather given the privilege of sharing our faith with others, a faith which matures or should as we experience life. We're a means of support to one another, not only in the daily activities which consume so much of our time, but also in the extremities of life. Dr. Luther Copeland, one of my professors who took part in my ordination, said, "Remember that your people will look to you for a word from God in the extreme moments of life, a word concerning eternal life and the hope we have in God." I have never forgotten his words, because so much of my ministry has been spent with those who are sick or in sorrow or in trouble of some kind. But there are many joyous occasions too, and in all of these we witness to our faith in the Lord Jesus. So often I think more by our presence than by our words, though certainly the right words, fitly spoken at the right time, are like apples of gold in pictures of silver. I believe that as our universe expands, our faith should also expand. Not that we leave the tenets of our faith, but certainly when we see and experience a greater universe, we realize how much greater is our God. New technologies require new understandings of our faith in God, who is the creator and author of all there is. Certainly God expects us to use our intelligence, which is God-given. But our intelligence needs to be enlightened and controlled by our faith. Someone has said, what man's mind can conceive, man's character can control. The question is, will we? Will we be able to harness all of these advancements and accomplishments for good purposes, or will we degenerate because of them? We had such high hopes for the peaceful use of atomic energy, but then we've had so much trouble trying to develop it. And now certainly so many peoples of the earth fear a nuclear war which may be started by accident. We are frequently reminded that the base of our knowledge has increased so very much in recent years and will escalate more and more. It amazes us to think of it. When I think of the little children and how much they have to learn as they grow up today, Of course, they will be familiar with the computer and with the new technologies, which come a bit more difficult for those of us who are older. But it is a new and a different age, and the base of knowledge is just beyond our imagination. If those of us who are interested in the spiritual dimension of life are not as aware and intelligent as our counterparts in science and medicine and business, for example, we shall be left behind, and rightly so. But I believe that God has a word for our age, as he has for every age in the past. And that word is the living word. Our Bibles, our experiences with the Holy Spirit, and certainly the living Christ. He is sufficient for all of our needs when we are committed to him. He has not left himself without witness. We join the believers of the past and the present in our hope for the future. God gives us, whatever our particular calling, to be his persons in this present age. Then, finally, as we participate in so many activities, as we think about the concerns we have in our world, and as so many new things make an inroad upon our thinking, surely we need to be still and know that God is still God, that in quietness and in confidence shall be our strength, that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings like eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. The Lord does not expect us to work on the fringe of exhaustion and burnout, as happens all too often in our day. So be good to yourself, and in turn you will be better able to help others. Not all will respond to our message or our efforts to help them, but not all respond to the Spirit of the Lord. If we faithfully sow the seed of God's word and live his love, then God will take care of the results. I knew an elderly minister once who told me that if he had his ministry to do over, he would preach far more about the love of God, which is the kernel and the heart of our faith. We are called today to live God's love in our world and the place we may serve. If one is called of God and answers that call to a specific ministry, then one ought to pursue it with diligence, with dedication, with devotion to study and adequate preparation, and the determination to fulfill the high calling of God, which is given to each one of us, no matter what our particular ministry may be. We're called to be faithful, to be used of God, as we strive to fulfill that particular calling. It's a great day to be alive. You will have opportunities ahead of you, which will just be tremendous. And I pray that God's blessings will be with every one of you as you fulfill your calling of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we ask that you would grant us wisdom and grant us courage for the living of these days, that we fail not man nor thee. Now may your love, peace, mercy remain and abide with each one of us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Get the feeling we have traversed the pilgrimage of a pioneer, and we have seen through windows in her life a lot of things that we knew were true, had hunches, guesses, but now we see them incarnated in flesh and in ministry in her experience. There are in Baptist a lot of big names among the women of this world, Lottie Moon and Annie Armstrong. But I want you from today on to put Addie Davis in that group. She really does deserve to be there. Thank you for coming. And she's learned how to say what she says before the end of the time. Have you noticed that? That's maybe a miracle too. I must tell you what I tell you in a way that it's going to be probably disconnected and discombobulated, because that's the way disasters are. But get yourselves a piece of paper and a pencil.